This is Alex Israel from the Paradise Institute of Jewish Studies, and this week we're going to study the Parsha of Vayera. This week's Parsha sees the incredible scene of the destruction of Sodom, where we witness an entire city, an evil city, going up in smoke. We see the survivors, Abraham's nephew Lot and his daughters. Even Lot's wife doesn't survive as she escapes the city only to look backwards and to be turned miraculously into a pillar of salt. If we were in any question about the evil nature of the city, we have the phenomenal story whereby Lot offers hospitality to two strangers who we identify as two angels who come to Sodom. He doesn't know they're angels at the time, and he offers them hospitality, gives them dinner, and as they're laying down to sleep, the entire townsfolk surround the house demanding that the visitors be released from the house and thrown to the mob. It's a scary mob scene. And it sounds from the story where they say, Hotzienu eleinu v'nei da'otam, bring them out to us that we may know them. They want to know them sexually. They want to rape these visitors. Lot offers his own daughters to the mob. He's so protective of his guests, and they're not satisfied with these daughters. They want the guests. And this completes repudiation of a tradition of hospitality, this idea that guests are there to be used and abused by the evil town of Sodom. Not only creates the word in English sodomy, but gives us a clear sense that this city, with its lack of hospitality and its offensive sexual immorality, is worthy of destruction. But the person I'd like to discuss this week is the personality of Lot himself. Because, of course, what is Lot doing in Sodom? Lot is Abraham's nephew. And on the one hand, we see Lot as a carbon copy of Abraham. Let's remind ourselves that the opening lines of Parshat Vayera describe Abraham at the entrance of his tent as three wayfarers come by him, and he offers them food, and he offers them to wash their feet, and offers them, and gives them a wonderful, wonderful meal. Lot is very similar. If you look at the beginning of chapter 19, I'll read a few lines. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed with his face to the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I beseech you, to your servant's house and remain all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, no, we will stay in the street. And he pressured them greatly, and they came to his house, and he made them a feast and baked bread, and they ate. This amazing hospitality, can any of us imagine just standing in the village square and welcoming in absolute strangers into our house? It really goes against the grain of our modern tradition of hospitality. Frequently we will be contacted by relatives abroad that someone is going to be in town. Could we house them for Shabbat? We will house in my own personal house Pardes students for Shabbat. We will invite friends for Shabbat lunch or what have you, but none of this matches the incredible hospitality of simply inviting absolute strangers who you know nothing about to share your food, to sleep in your home, to give them a bed for the night. And in this regard, Lot comes out looking as a tzaddik, a remarkably righteous person. He sounds exactly like Abraham. Abraham sits at the entrance to his tent. Lot doesn't live in a tent. He lives in a brick house or a stone house. And therefore, neighbors aren't going to come by his door. So where does he sit? In the evening, when probably the village square clears out, he sits at the gate, not of his house, but the gates of Sodom itself, seeing whether maybe people are coming and need to stop there for the night, Just like Abraham, he rises up to meet them. Just like Abraham, he bows to them. When they turn him down and say they'll stay in the street, Lo ki berachov nalin, some people interpret that as the street or maybe the local inn or hotel, he says no. Vayitzar bam ma'od, he insists that they stay and gives them a fantastic meal. On this basis and with this evidence, Lot comes out looking tremendously righteous. So I come back to my thought, which is, if we have this evil city, Sodom, who are worthy of destruction, what is Lot doing living there? How did he get there? I would also say that the text itself, earlier on in chapter 18, indicates, or at least seems to hint, that Lot is the tzaddik in Sodom. If you recall, God reveals his plan to obliterate Sodom to Abraham, and Abraham says, well, maybe there are 50 righteous people in the city. God says there aren't. Maybe there are 40, maybe there are 30. And he stops at 10. If there were 10 righteous people in the city, a minyan, a quorum of 10, God said he would spare the entire city, because it seems like and maybe this is the basis of a minyan, a group of 10 is already a force. A group of 10 individuals aren't just individuals, but they are a collective who then can have an influence on their surroundings. But the assumption is that there aren't 10, but there is one tzaddik in Sodom, one righteous person in Sodom, and that is Lot. So let's ask ourselves, how did he get there and what is the story? And to do that, we have to turn back to chapter 13 and to last week's Parashat Shavua, last week's Torah reading. And it all happened because there was an argument about grazing space. I'm reading here from chapter 13. Abraham went up from Egypt, him and his wife, to the Negev. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver and gold. And later it says, and Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. V'gam l'Lot ha'olechet Avram, hayatzon uvakar v'ohalim. V'lo nasal tam ha'aretz la'shevet yachdav, ki haya ruchusham rav, v'lo yichlu la'shevet yachdav. The land could not bear them, that they lived together, because their possessions, their flocks, were so great, they couldn't live together. V'ayhi riv, and there was an argument, bein ro'ei miknei Avram uvein ro'ei miknei Lot. The herdsmen of Avram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle started fighting. And the Canaanites and Perizzites were in the land. And Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, I beg you, between me and you. Al na tihim riva, let's not argue. After all, we're brothers. Let us split up, I beg you. If you take the left hand, I will take the right. If you take the right, and I'll take the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the valley of the Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. In other words, the valley of the Jordan had the Jordan River going through it. Sodom and Amorah were like the garden of the Lord, like the Garden of Eden, which had rivers. Like the land of Egypt, which has the Nile, all the way to Tsoar. And Lot chose the valley of the Jordan, and he journeyed east and separated himself from Avraham. The text does say, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked sinners before the Lord. So, here's the story. There isn't enough grazing space up in the hills around Beit El, where Avraham and Lot were. And it seems like every time Avraham's herds are in the field, Lot's herds come in and upset Avraham's herdsmen, or the other way around. And they're worried because Haknani v'Haprizi az Yoshev Ba'aretz. There are other tribes there, and if they hear about two foreign shepherds fighting, they might, I don't know, push them out of the area. And therefore Avram says, you know, better we separate. We're already both independent, wealthy men. And Lot chooses to go to Sodom. As I said, the text says, V'anshei Sodom ra'im v'chata'im la'shem ma'od. The men of Sodom were very evil. Lot doesn't seem to be bothered by that. Seems like a very innocuous story until we open Rashi. And Rashi wants to claim that Lot isn't neutral, that Lot is quite evil himself. He says, what is the argument about? What is the quarrel about? He says, well, it's very simple, says Rashi. It wasn't merely a financial argument about pasture lands or argument about space. It was an ethical argument. I'll read Rashi's comments. Vishayu ra'im shalot rasha'im umar'im behemtam b'stot achirim. Lot's herdsmen were wicked, and they pastured the animals in other people's fields. Abraham's herdsmen, who were ethical, rebuked them for committing robbery. And what did Lot say? Lot said, the land's going to be given to Abraham anyway, and I'm going to get it because Abraham has no children. So that's just fine. I can take it already now, but Abraham had not yet been given the land. When Lot goes and sees the valley of the Jordan, Rashi comments, what did he see? What did he see in the Jordan Valley? He sees that their people were promiscuous, and Lot wanted to be there because of their promiscuity. And when Lot journeys from the east, the word is Mikedem, Rashi quotes the Midrash that Lot wanted to move away from Kadmono Shel Olam, from the creator of the world. Rashi sees Lot as a particularly negative character who is interested in promiscuity. This is how Rashi and the Midrash identify also him sending his daughters to the mob. It's not as if he cares about his daughter's chastity. And indeed, the end of chapter 19 has his daughters, who are desperate and feel the whole world has been destroyed, actually engaging in sexual relations with Lot in order to survive, to ensure the survival of the human race, which they think has been wiped out. And therefore, the Midrash sees Lot as, if you want, morally compromised in the sexual realm. And not only in that realm, also in terms of his appreciation of private property. He's not worried about letting his shepherds graze in other people's field. For Rashi, Lot is evil just like the people of Sodom. That's not the way I read it a few minutes ago. I wonder how he would deal with the existence of Lot's hospitality. Does he see it as some sense of nostalgic remembering of Abraham? Something which was ingrained from his childhood, but something that is maybe the last vestige of the Abrahamic tradition in his life? That's Rashi. Nachmanides, Ramban, the great commentator, disagrees. And the Ramban explains something different about this whole story. Ramban says that indeed this was a argument about land, like I explained, and that what Lot was worried about was that since the Canaanite and Prizi are in the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites are in the land, if they see local shepherds warring with one another, they will either push them both out, or alternatively, they might even come and kill them and take all of their extensive herds. So Lot has to find new pasture ground. But here we're going to come to the real crunch. Abraham says, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I go to the right. Where does he intend that Lot should go? According to one tradition, which is the tradition preserved by the Targum, right and left, well, let me say a word about ancient geography. You know, we have a phrase in English where we sometimes talk about the East. We talk about the Orient. And the reason why we talk about it as being the Orient is because one orients oneself according to the East. Nowadays, we always have maps which face north, and we talk about the north, maybe the North Star. But in ancient times, the easiest way to know your directions was by the rising sun, which was in the east. And in that case, we have the word Kedem, which means east, because it is Kadima, it's forward. In fact, the Mediterranean Sea, in the geography of the land of Israel, is called the Yam HaAcharon, the sea which is behind you, because, of course, if you're facing the sun, which rises in the east, the Mediterranean is behind you, in which case, when Abraham says you go right, I'll go left. You go left, I'll go right. He's saying, if you go north, I'll go south. If you go south, I'll go north. Abraham intends that they split up along the mountain ridge of the land of Canaan. Abraham has been promised the land of Canaan, him and his family. And he doesn't intend that Lot should leave the land of Canaan at all. He thinks that Lot will remain a shepherd and that he will take the northern district, what now maybe we'd call Shomron, and Abraham would take Yehuda or the other way round. They will remain within the hill lands of Canaan. Remain within the land. But what does Lot do? Lot decides to go to a different region. He decides to go down into the valley, which reminds him of Egypt, which he's recently visited. Why does Lot do this? Well, if you recall, the whole problem came as a result of all of their wealthy herds. And the chapter there begins where they've just emerged out of Egypt. And I want to suggest something, which I think is certainly something that we should pay attention to. Shepherds always dwell in tents. They move from place to place. They are nomadic. They usually don't own land. And they live between the farms, taking their herds from region to region according to when there is rain, and going around the countryside, just eating the natural vegetation and plant life which grows up. When Lot leaves Abraham, does he remain a shepherd? See, the interesting thing is, in chapter 13, Lot goes down to the valley lands, which are like Egypt. And here, the area around the valley, which has a river running through it, just like Egypt. Of course, what's around the river? Fields. Fields with irrigation channels surround the river. So if you go down to the region of Sodom, you trade being a shepherd for a farmer, or possibly for a city dweller. Possibly you trade being a shepherd for being a city dweller, a merchant, somebody who produces things. Where do I see that? I see that, first of all, already in chapter 14, where we have the idea that first, Lot, Vayehal at Sodom, in chapter 13, he took his tent to Sodom. By chapter 14, Vehu Yoshev b'Sodom, he's already living in Sodom. And by the time we reach chapter 19, Lot is living in a house with a door that he could close. If you remember the story, it tells us in chapter 19, as the mob is surrounding his house, it says, the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house, and he closed the door. And they wearied themselves to find the door. We're dealing with a stone house which has a door that you can close and people cannot enter. So now I want to think about, why does Lot leave Abraham and what's he interested in? The life of a shepherd is hard. To be a nomad means you can't establish neither your reputation. You're unstable. You're constantly on the move. And I would want to say that now that Lot has come into some money, Lot wants to trade the nomadic, unstable life of Lech Lecha, of walking, of constantly being on the move. Abraham moves from place to place. From Mesopotamia, he comes to the land of Canaan, he goes to Shechem, he goes to Bet El, he goes down to Hebron, he goes to Beersheba, he's back in Bet El. Abraham's always on the move, spreading God's reputation, calling God's name. My feeling is that Lot had wearied of all of this. He was looking for to settle down for the suburban life, for the suburban dream. A nice house with a garden and two cars, or I don't know, maybe two camels in the driveway. This was what Lot bargained for, and the place which he saw to do it was Sodom. That was the suburb he saw, that was the suburb he chose. Maybe he bought his way in, and that was how he made his way there. Was Lot evil? Certainly not. He was Abraham's nephew. We saw his hospitality. However, I would argue that Lot seems to think to himself that he will be able to still be the tzaddik of Sodom. He knows the people of Sodom, like the narrator tells us in chapter 13, are evil and wicked to God. But he says to himself, I will be different. I will not be like them. I'd like to look once again at chapter 19 and see what happens. When Lot is taken by the two people back into his house, they tell him that we're going to leave the house. Let me read the verses. And the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Sons-in-laws, your sons, your daughters? Bring them out of this place, or we're going to destroy the place, because the cry has grown so great in the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, the men who had married his daughters. And he says, "Let's get out of this place. The Lord's going to destroy the city." But to his sons-in-law, it seemed he was joking. And only at dawn, the angels say to Lot, "You've got to hurry, arise. Take your wife and daughters and get out of here." And he lingered. And the men laid hold of him and his wife and brought him out and set him outside the city. The story of Lot is that Lot almost doesn't survive. There's an amazing notation, an amazing, if you know the biblical trop, the Torah reading trop, on the word "and Lot lingered," there is a shalshelet note. It goes up and down. Vayit mahama. Up and down. Lot is caught because Lot, who is rooted in Abraham, has decided to live in an evil place. And he has raised his children in this place. And when he says we're leaving, they think he's joking. Only his young daughters are willing to go with him because they have no other base. But his married children stay back there. Even his wife cannot pull herself away. And when his wife looks back and is turned into a pillar of salt, what the Bible is really saying is she was never going to be able to extract herself from Sodom. She lived there. The story of Lot is a tragic one because Lot is the man who Nechama Leibovitz sometimes calls a study in mediocrity. Lot had, he loved the way of Abraham, but he didn't want to take it all the way. He wasn't willing to pay with a life of wanderings in order to follow the God of Abraham. He wanted it all. He wanted to do Abraham's hospitality. I'm sure he believed in God. But he also wanted to live that suburban dream, even if it meant in living in Sodom. But he paid a heavy price. His, as we said before, he offers his own daughters to the mob. The Ramban says, how can a person do that? Usually a person is willing to put their life on the line rather than send their daughters to the mob. They prefer to be killed rather than have their wife or daughters compromised. How is Lot acting? One senses that Lot's moral compass has been compromised. And indeed, as I said, in the final scene of the chapter, his own daughters are intimate with him. So we see a situation in which the place in which Lot has settled down rubs off on him, rubs off on the morality of his family, and he pays an awful price. Most of his family, his married children and probably his grandchildren, perish in Sodom. And when I think about this story, it makes me consider these questions. I once heard somebody say that the most significant decisions we make in life are the people that we marry, in other words, the home that we are going to set up, and the place that we decide to reside. Because the place we decide to live, the community we join, is it exceedingly materialistic or is it more modest? Is it a place where there are influences of Torah, where a vibrant Jewish life is accessible? Or is it a place where Jewish life is more on the sidelines? I think many of the faculty of Pardes who chose to come to live in Israel felt that Israel provided a more vibrant and alive Jewish environment in which to raise our families, in which for ourselves to live. And this is where I see Lot as a very, very tragic figure. Because Lot starts off, he doesn't move Sodom out of ideology. In this regard, I'm rejecting Rashi. I don't believe Lot went there because he was evil. I think he went there because he saw Sodom, where the living was easy, where he could get a better standard of living. And yet, because Sodom is an evil place, It affects his environment and it affects his own morality in very fundamental ways. According to one tradition, Sodom had banned any hospitality, and one wonders why Lot would have wanted so badly to engage in hospitality that he would have put his life on the line in order to host guests. And sometimes when I think about this, I think about Lot as being a person who has these deep Abrahamic roots and knows that he's in a place which is at incredible variance with the house of Abraham. And in order to retain his own dignity, he has to hold on to some of his traditions. And this is what gives him his own decency. This is what validates him in his own mind. And therefore, he's even willing to engage in this hospitality, even at the pain of getting into a huge amount of legal trouble with the municipal authorities. And yet, when we look at this situation, we see Lot as a rather pathetic individual, because every other thing in his life, this is something he can only do in private, in secret. His innermost values, his core values, cannot be brought out into the public square. He can't talk about it with his neighbors because they so vastly disagree with him. And in that regard, Lot is this very, very sad person who we end his story with a great sense of shame and disgrace. To me, it gives me a lot of thought about the choices we make in life, about how much we sacrifice for our values, how much our values are integrated into our lifestyle and into our persona, and the effect that the places in which we live have on our value system and on the values of our families. I hope this has been thought-provoking and interesting. I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much.